Mental illness is epidemic in America, and the problem is spreading worldwide. It's time for decisive action, because the battle for the mind is part of a much larger war being waged between good and evil, with you as the prize. Welcome to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. For the next hour, we'll uncover Bible-based weapons for fighting destructive feelings and resolving inner conflicts. Dr. Jennings wants to arm you with the tools necessary for achieving emotional and mental stability as you strengthen your relationship with God. We'll open the phone lines for your questions in just a moment. I'm your Simple Solutions host, Charles Mills. It was the first time I saw it in action. My mother was a great cook, and the grocery store was her kingdom. We went shopping at least once a day, and I, as a child, loved to tag along. About 10 years ago, after I'd heard that Mom was beginning to lose touch with reality, I was visiting my parents in Tennessee. She and I headed for the large grocery store near her home to buy supplies for the evening meal. As we entered the store, I was walking a few paces behind her. Suddenly, I saw her stop and stand unmoving. Beyond her stretched the colorful aisles of her kingdom, brimming with produce and products. But she just stood there, staring. I walked up beside her and said, "Mom, what's the matter?" She looked at me with eyes filled with an unusual terror. I don't know what to do," she stammered. "Why are we here?" That's when I first met Alzheimer's disease face to face. What pained me most was that the disease bore an uncanny resemblance to my gentle, loving mother. Today we talk about the painful, unfair, frustrating, and tragic disease that is touching the lives of so many today. And I hasten to add that those lives include the family members and friends of those stricken. Perhaps, listener, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Dr. Jennings, what is Alzheimer's and why does it strike so many down today?
That's a great question, and it's a terrible, devastating disease. Alzheimer's disease is a disease that affects the most important organ of our body, our being, our brain. The reason why there's so many today is because people are living longer today than ever before. This is an illness that strikes late in life. And so back 100 years ago, in fact, back before the 20th century, when the average lifespan was 50 years of age, we didn't see a lot of Alzheimer's dementia because people were dying from so many other things before the brain was failing from this illness. Now that we have enhanced life expectancy, there are so many more people aging into later life that we are seeing a much higher prevalence of Alzheimer's dementia. Alzheimer's dementia is the illness from Alzheimer's disease. The disease is the actual physical illness that attacks the brain. And what happens in the brain of people with Alzheimer's disease is that proteins called amyloid proteins build up in the brain, which interfere with certain brain chemical signaling that ultimately results in damage to neurons, loss of brain cells, brain atrophy, and there's substantial billions of brain cells die over the course of the illness. And so people near the end stages of Alzheimer's disease, their brain may be half the size it was at the beginning of the Alzheimer's disease. So it's a really devastating illness that attacks the brain tissue itself. The dementia part of it are the symptoms that people get. And the symptoms of Alzheimer's dementia are things like aphasia, which is a language disturbance where they don't understand language the same, they don't express language the same, words don't seem to convey the same meaning. So there's some mix-up in language skills. Apraxia, which is motor movement disturbances. They can't do the simple things they used to do, like tie shoes, button their clothing, or complex motor behaviors that they used to do simply, they have a hard time doing. Impaired recognition of familiar objects, which sounds like your mother was having in a certain degree, where she was in this place that was familiar, but it felt like something that was not so familiar to her. And that can happen with family or friends. You can see a daughter and think it's your mother or not know who she is at all. And then the alteration in executive functions, which are the ability to organize, plan, prioritize, carry out a sequence of events like cooking and so forth. And with patients with Alzheimer's dementia, these functions are lost. And this is why they tend to regress and want to stay at home and not get out, because as they get out, they no longer have the processing capacity to integrate all this stimuli, this information, and make sense of it anymore. So when your mom walked into the grocery store, there was so much going on, she no longer had the hardware, the brain tissue to process this, and didn't know what to do and was confused.
So we're actually talking about a hardware failure here then.
That's exactly what it is. It's an illness that attacks the brain tissue itself.
All right. Okay. Because, you know, as I went down this list, I was writing down notes here as you were talking, Dr. Jennings. I have this. Most everyone has this, you know, an ability to organize, motor movement sometimes is problems, language disturbances, recognition problems. We each go through this from time to time temporarily. Are these shadows of Alzheimer's, or is there something else going on here?
You know, what you're describing has nothing to do with Alzheimer's. Momentary lapses can be from a sleep deprivation. If you're really sleep deprived, you can not think or organize or prioritize as well. You can have, you can't recall that word that you want to recall just because of lack of rest, lack of nutrition, hypoglycemia, all these things. But you notice the common thread here, all the symptoms that we're describing are because the brain isn't functioning like it's supposed to. Now, why is the brain not functioning like it's supposed to? Well, I can cause people to injecting them with certain medicines or chemicals, we can interfere with normal brain function, and they can become confused and have memory problems and not be able to organize and plan. Now, if you have low blood sugar, if you've had a hypertensive crisis or a high blood pressure crisis, if you've been severely sleep deprived, all of these types of things can affect, or infections like meningitis or other types of physiological changes that alter brain function can make a person look confused. And the difference is that those types of problems are sudden onset and acute. They just happen, the person's normally themselves all the time, and then bam, suddenly within days, hours or days, they're completely different. That would not be dementia. Of the Alzheimer's type. Dementia of the Alzheimer's type is a slow, gradual progression over months and years of a slow erosion of abilities. That's the difference, because you're actually losing brain tissue slowly over time. But I also want to point out that when I say dementia, Alzheimer's is not the only type of dementia out there. It's only one type. It's the most common type. About 60% of people with dementia have Alzheimer's type. But you can have dementia from vascular reasons, meaning tiny little strokes in the brain, which are killing off brain cells. Or there's different types of what's called Lewy body dementia, which is a different type of illness. But the bottom pathology in any type of dementia is something is killing brain cells. Brain cells are being killed, and as the brain cells are killed, then we lose the ability to function normally. That's the bottom line to dementia.
Now, my family represents both sides of this equation, Doctor. My mother, who died of cancer about 10 years ago, was heading into Alzheimer's, and that was well known. My dad had his 93rd birthday just last week, and he's doing just fine, thank you very much. What's the difference? Why my dad is okay and my mom had Alzheimer's? What made the difference? Can you tell?
Not with absolute certainty, but in general, there are general things that do make a difference. One, obviously, is the genetic preload that you come into the world with. Some people are more vulnerable to developing, and we can talk about some of the risks here in a moment, but some are more vulnerable to developing dementia late in life than others. Some have a more resilient genome. That's the first thing. The second thing are life experiences, what we go through both nutritionally, environmentally, and how we manage stress in our life. All those things can be factors that can enhance or reduce the risk of developing Alzheimer's dementia. And we can talk about some specific nutritional things that can help help keep the brain healthy, and things that make us more vulnerable to that as we go through the show today, if you'd like.
Absolutely. Dr. Jennings, you're doing it again. You're telling us that we really have an input into our lives. You're telling us that we really can make some choices that have far-reaching results, and we want to talk about those as our program continues. We're talking with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings about Alzheimer's disease. Our phone lines are down today. You can't call us, but you can email us at simplesolutions@lifetalk.net. simplesolutions@lifetalk.net. If you have a question or comment for today's program, we will look at your email immediately and put that question on the air and talk about what you want to talk about today. That's simplesolutions@lifetalk.net. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Here's your daily heartbeat with Dr. James Markham. One of the neat things about the Bible is it gives you millions, well, tons of ways to change your body's chemistry. Did you know that the Bible is filled with wonderful ways that we can change our chemistry? Now, would you rather take a prescription medication or do something from the Bible to help you feel better? I would choose to follow the owner's manual. This is the way we can best get our chemistry the way God intended. If you jumped off a building, things would break. Likewise, if we don't follow the laws God's given us, our chemistry changes. We're not following the owner's manual. When this happens day in and day out, we become diseased and sick. So in Heartbeat, I want us to follow the biblical prescriptions to change our chemistry.
Thank you, Dr. Markham. If you'd like more information, go to heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org.
When we come to a new life with Jesus Christ, because of sin, we bring into the relationship a lot of baggage that we've collected throughout our life. This baggage is often heavy and unbearable. Have you ever come to a turnstile while carrying suitcases in both hands? Even though you might not need your hands to get through the turnstile, you definitely can't get through holding on to the luggage. Well, what do? You have to let go. This is wonderful news in the Christian life. It's not about living in the past. The crucifixion took care of that. We can walk forward without all that baggage. We just need to connect to Christ. Would you like to learn today how to let go of that baggage you're carrying around? Call Life Talk Radio and enroll in the free Discover Bible Study course. All 26 lessons are based on God's Word and will empower you to live the Christian life walking hand in hand with Jesus. Enroll today to begin that stroll with Christ. Call 800-775-HOPE. That's 800-775-4673.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. My name is Charles Mills. Today we're talking about Alzheimer's disease. Listener, if you have a question today, we can't take calls, but we certainly can take emails. And our address is simplesolutions@lifetalk.net. And we have someone sitting there right by a computer staring at the screen ready to receive your question today. Simplesolutions@lifetalk.net. Just send that along with your question or comment and we'll bring it on the air and we'll talk about it and we'll try to answer your question. Alzheimer's disease, Dr. Jennings says in the first 15 minutes of our program, is a slow onset disease that brings about language disturbances, motor movement impairments, recognition problems, and the inability to organize. Some of us will say, hey, that's us. But he says those things that happen temporarily are not shadows of Alzheimer's. They're just simply lack of nutrition, lack of sleep, whatever can bring about those things. But there is a hardware problem, he says, that can be made worse by predisposition of genetics. But I don't know, Dr. Jennings, you were telling us some things that we can do to keep that from happening. Let me ask you the $64 million question here. Is Alzheimer's disease preventable?
You know, that's a great question. I guess it depends on, ultimately, it depends on your genetics. There are some people that have such bad gene pools that it's probably for them at this point in time not preventable. But it doesn't mean it can't be forestalled, pushed back, delayed. For most of us, though, there are things that are promising on the horizon that show that there may be some things that we can do to maybe prevent the development of Alzheimer's disease. The people who that I would say have the really, really bad genomes are people who in their family history, people get Alzheimer's dementia in their 40s or 50s. Okay, and that's very unusual and it's very rare. That is something that we need to be real aggressive with. And even for those people, there's some things we can do. And the things I'm going to share today should be done, and it may forestall or push that back 5, 10, 15 years before the symptoms come on. And that, of course, is worth doing. The other group that's highly vulnerable to the development of Alzheimer's dementia is trisomy 21 individuals, what is commonly known as Down syndrome kids. And the reason for that is the 21st chromosome is the chromosome that codes for the protein amyloid protein. And amyloid protein is the protein that is overly represented in the brain or deposited in the brain that causes is thought, at least at this point in time in the current theories, be toxic to brain tissue. And it's one of the hallmark signatories in the pathology of the brains of those who have Alzheimer's dementia. They have a lot of this protein deposited there. people with trisomy 21 or Down syndrome have a third copy of the gene that codes for that, so they make more of this to start with. And the data shows that, in fact, people with trisomy 21 or Down syndrome do develop Alzheimer's dementia at an earlier age, usually in their 50s, than normal populations do. So those people are at high risk because of the genetics that they have. Things that also increase risk, what happens in the brain, it's accumulation of what we call oxidative stress, which are things that reform free radicals that are damaging to the brain. And so anything that we can do that reduces oxidative stress on the brain, free radical species, inflammatory factors, so anti-inflammatories, antioxidants are very, very helpful. And there's data that shows that. For instance, omega-3 fatty acids are free radical scavengers, and there's data that shows that people who have a high omega-3 fatty acid diet have the reduction in the development of Alzheimer's dementia. Omega-3 fatty acids come in fish oils, black walnuts, and other flaxseed yeah. is usually the shorter chained omega-3s and the alpha linoleic acid, and that hasn't necessarily been shown to be as effective as the longer chain that comes from the fish oils, but it shows that there's a neuroprotective effect because these scavenge up these free radicals in the brain. And a Chicago study there was a Chicago study that one a fish meal a week, and this is cold water wild fish like salmon and things like that, was associated with a 60% reduction in the risk of developing Alzheimer's dementia in both the Rotterdam and Chicago studies. So there is evidence that supplementing with omega-3 fatty acids can be neuroprotective because of its ability to scavenge free radicals. Interestingly enough, there was a study out of Stockholm showing that people who drink several cups of coffee a day have reduced risk of developing Alzheimer's dementia and memory problems. And this is thought to do with the flavonoids in coffee that scavenge up free radicals and antioxidants. My recommendation, though, because of the concerns of caffeine, is that if you want to go that route, drink decaf coffee, and because the caffeine is a stimulant, which can be unhealthy. But the flavonoids in a decaf coffee might be beneficial to the brain.
When you're talking about this free radicals and antioxidants and whatnot, that's also a conversation we have about cancer. Are these two connected, Alzheimer's and cancer?
Well, what we're finding is that a lot of the illnesses throughout the body are related to inflammatory factors, which are related to stress. I don't know if you remember our conversation last week about depression and the unresolved stress activating inflammatory pathways in the brain, kicking up various inflammatory factors, what we call cytokines, which are like toxic little terrorists in our body. This is also one of the factors thought to be involved in developing Alzheimer's dementia later in life, these inflammatory factors in the brain. And interesting research has shown in the last year, 18 months, where they have taken new pharmaceutical that's actually not approved for this use, but they've injected it into basically the back of the neck of people with Alzheimer's dementia, and it crosses into the blood-brain barrier, scavenging up free radicals and inflammatory factors like interleukin-1, 6, and tumor necrosis factor. These are the name of the inflammatory factors, and they get profound improvements in cognition, and there are studies ongoing across the United States right now looking at this as an option. So these inflammatory factors are damaging to neurons, and they interfere with normal brain signaling. And if we can reduce these inflammatory factors, then we can have neuroprotective effects. Now, I want to share something interesting because we like to bring the Bible in our discussions.
Sure.
And my review of the Old Testament sanctuary service, if you look at the Old Testament sanctuary and compare it to the New Testament, Paul tells us that, don't you know that ye yourselves are a temple of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit dwells in you? In the Old Testament service, the blood of the sacrifice was taken throughout the building. But Jesus said, unless you drink my drink my blood and eat my flesh, in other words, take the blood into the spirit temple. Jesus said, if you destroy this temple, I'll raise it in 3 days. In other words, I'm suggesting that the Old Testament sanctuary was a metaphor of the spirit temple and God's plan to heal that. With that in mind, it's of interest to note that a recent study came out that pomegranate juice in animal studies have been shown to clear the amyloid proteins out of the brains of animals, which were genetically modified to lay down high amounts of amyloid proteins. But when they were given pomegranate juice, the human equivalent of 8 ounces a day, not only did the animals not get more of this amyloid, this toxic protein, but they actually cleared it out of their brains, even though they're genetically programmed to lay it down. The Old Testament, and the reason I mention this to the Old Testament, is that the high priest in the Old Testament, at the base of his hem, the hem of his garment, wore little bells in the shape of pomegranates. Pomegranates were helpful. Another interesting study shows that vitamin E from nature, not supplements, and I can tell you why that is, but vitamin E from nature is very antioxidant, protects the brain from the these free radicals and these damaging species that damage the neurons. And in the sanctuary service, the lampstand had almonds on it. So here we have two things in the Old Testament sanctuary service depicted there, both of which, if we take into our bodies, protect our brains from damage, at least the data which suggests that that's what's happening.
Boy, that is amazing. I know listeners right now are saying, Charles, ask him about the vitamin E nature supplement. Come on.
Okay.
How come one, not the other?
Okay, because in nature, vitamin E has eight isomers, which are, an isomer is like a different image of the same thing. So if you look at your left hand and your right hand, they are both identical, except they're mirror images of each other. So you could call the left hand, right hand, are isomers of each other. Okay. In nature, vitamin E has eight different isomers of each other. Okay. Eight. In the supplements only give you one or two of those. And so when you take the supplements, you actually get an imbalance, and the body needs a balanced vitamin E isomers. And so when you get it in the natural food source, and I recommend a little handful of raw almonds every day, and that gives you plenty of vitamin E that you need, and it's going to be helpful for the brain.
All right. Okay, listener, are you listening to this? Are you writing stuff down? I know I am here. He says omega-3 fatty acids that can come from fish oil. It can also come from almonds and flax. He recommends I guess you recommend the fish oil. Is that what you're saying, Dr.
Yeah, well, and I want to say, if people want to get it from eating fish, for any of our audience that wants to do that, you can't get it from farm-raised fish. Farm-raised fish are, if you're lucky, fed corn, which makes them high in omega-6s. If you're not lucky, they're fed other waste substances that make them high in various toxic things that aren't good for you. Okay, so the only fish that really shown to be helpful would be the ones that are caught in the wild. So wild salmon, mackerel, tuna, shellfish don't have any of this. Warm water fish really don't have any of this. So it's the cold water fish. And the reason for that is the cold water fish don't make the omega-3s. They eat it in the plant sources in the ocean, but the omega-3s keep their bodies from freezing in the cold water. So it's the cold water fish that have this as a source for us.
Are you saying, in your opinion, Dr. Jennings, that the good that the omega-3 brings outweighs the bad that possible mercury contamination might bring?
Yeah, it depends on your source. If you're eating it from the fish, you get an increasing risk of mercury contamination. If you're eating it from a supplement, if you're getting the omega-3s from a food source supplement that you get in a store, the risk of mercury is very insignificant for a couple of reasons. One, the mercury tends to be protein bound, which would be in the muscle or the meat of the fish, not in the oil or the fat of the fish, so you're going to reduce it there. And secondly, Consumer Report has done some evaluations of various brands looking at that, and you can check that at the Consumer Reports website, but they'll let you know that they've periodically checked some of these, and they're not finding mercury in the oils. So they'll tell you which brands are good and reasonable.
All right, very good. Omega-3, and then pomegranate juice, and vitamin E from nature, like in almonds. This is the beginning of our weaponry to fight back Alzheimer's.
Oh, and one other thing about that. You remember what Jesus fed his disciples on the after his resurrection? Jesus prepared a meal for his disciples after his resurrection. Exactly.
Fish.
He fed them fish. Isn't that interesting?
All right. It is very interesting indeed. We're talking with Dr. Timothy Jennings here. He is a Christian psychiatrist and author. The program is called Simple Solutions. I invite you to visit Dr. Jennings' website. It's www.comeandreason.com. That's www.comeandreason.com. You can listen to this show live. You can also listen to recordings of previous shows. And also, there's a place there that you will soon be able to leave some questions for Dr. Jennings. That's all being worked on right now as we speak. So a lot of things to look forward to at www.comeandreason.com. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Alzheimer's disease and its reasons for being and how we can do our best to keep it from striking us or someone we love. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Here's Don Stevens with a Mercy Minute.
A Mercy Ships volunteer named Robin was in the middle of an interview with a patient, and suddenly a woman named Sacco broke in. Through a translator, Sacco told Robin of her years of health problems. She told of her husband leaving her. She talked about her 14-year-old daughter, Mahawa, who wasn't in school because she couldn't afford it. A year of schooling would cost about 3,000 Liberian dollars, about 60 U.S. dollars. Well, Robin decided then and there to pay for Mahawa's school fees and the uniform for the year. She also decided she'd make arrangements to pay the school fees for every year until Mahawa completed school. You see, Mercy takes steps to make the impossible possible. It turns dreams into reality. Now you go, show mercy, and make someone's dream a reality today. This is Don Stevens of Mercy Ships reminding you, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy.
If you've ever had a problem with a medicine you're taking, you're not alone. Medicine is prescribed to help you, but it can hurt you if you take it incorrectly or mix medicines that shouldn't be taken together. A new booklet from the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, or ARC, provides advice to help you be sure that your medicines will do only what they're supposed to do. Dr. Carolyn Clancy, Director of ARC.
Safe healthcare shouldn't stop when you leave the hospital or doctor's office. Medication errors that occur at home are a serious problem. You can learn to take your prescription drugs safely by talking with your healthcare provider.
The booklet includes a handy chart where you can keep track of all your medicines, including those you can buy without a prescription, as well as any vitamins or other dietary supplements. The chart will help you and your doctor discuss everything you're taking. For a free copy of Your Medicine, Play It Safe, call 1-800-358-9295. That's 1-800-358-9295. I'm Bob Tebow for the Consumer Radio Network.
Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Do you long for that peace in your life? Let's return to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author, Dr. Timothy Jennings.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. I'm here with Dr. Jennings. We're talking about Alzheimer's disease today, and he is going through a list of some very effective measures that we can take, listener, you and I, we can take these and try to keep our bodies healthy and not have to deal with this, or someone we love, we can help them along too. We want to be medical missionaries here. This is our task. We want to help other people as well as ourselves. Omega-3 fatty acids, he says we need to take, pomegranate juice, vitamin E from nature, and that's like in almonds. Dr. Jennings, what's next?
Well, the things that we want to do to keep our brain healthy is obviously we want to avoid all things that are toxic or harmful. So we'd want to avoid illegal drugs. We'd want to avoid, you know, excessive alcohol use. We'd want to avoid other types of toxins in the environment, which we're doing a better job at in society. For instance, the lead getting out of paint, so kids aren't getting lead in paint, those types of things. We want to wear helmets if we ride motorcycles, because head injuries actually increase the risk of developing dementia. So if you have head injuries early in life, you've actually caused trauma to the brain. There's been some brain damage. You may recover from it now, but then that sets up a process that later down the life, as you age, you're going to be more vulnerable to developing dementia down life. So we want to protect from head injuries. We want to have a way to manage our stress well. This means healthy spirituality. We want healthy spirituality. There's unhealthy spirituality out there. There are belief systems that increase fear, increase anxiety, increase worry. And the more of the increased anxiety, worry, and fear that we have, then we cause that inflammatory process in our bodies that react back upon the brain that is not healthy for us. And in fact, recent studies have shown that people who believe in a loving God live longer than people who believe in a punitive, harsh God. This is not surprising because of the inflammatory factors and the cascade of events throughout our body. Things we can actually do. Physical exercise. Physical exercise throughout life, all the way. And if you've not physically exercised much in your life, start now. The studies show that people who are in their 70s have never exercised, start exercising, they get benefit even in their 70s and 80s. So you start exercising as you're able to exercise. The body produces various factors that make the brain healthier, make the neurons healthier, make the brain more resilient and more resistant to inflammatory factors, and reduce some of these inflammatory factors when we exercise. B vitamin and folic acid supplements. Now, why are these important? Because in our brains and bodies, as we go through normal metabolic processes, the body produces a byproduct of metabolism called homocysteine. Now, homocysteine, imagine taking a piece of barbed wire and dragging it through a soft rubber hose to the inside of a hose. What's going to happen inside the hose? It's going to be all nicked up and scarred up. Well, homocysteine does this through the blood vessel linings through our body, and it's also damaging directly to the neurons. And so the small little blood vessels of our body get nicked up. And then when they get the little nicks in them, the way the body repairs that is platelets come in behind there and will coagulate on those little nicks to help repair it. But if you're older, as you get older, and the blood vessels get less pliable and less elastic, and we get a little atherosclerosis, little plaques building up in there, and we get these nicks in there, then a little platelet coming to do its job can actually cause occlusion or obstruct the blood vessel, which then anything downstream of that blood vessel is not getting its oxygen and nutrients. And so little neurons are getting knocked off all through the brain, increasing the risk of dementia from this byproduct homocysteine not being cleared. Well, the body has two pathways to get rid of this little toxic byproduct. And one pathway is dependent on the combination of folic acid and B12, and the other pathway is dependent upon B6. So if we don't have these in sufficient supplies in our body, we can't get rid of this stuff, and then we have increasing risks. Independent of anything else in your life, if you have elevated homocysteine levels, you have increased risk of dementia, increased risk of stroke, increased risk of heart attacks because of this nicking of the endothelial linings. And in our society today, most people don't eat a diet that's nutritious in B vitamins and folates, which come the B6 and the folates come from green leafy vegetables and fruits. And even if you do eat the green leafy vegetables, most people today are microwave cooking, and microwave cooking damages or kills these healthy vitamins. So we don't get what we need from microwave cooking. And B vitamins are found basically only in meat sources, animal sources, eggs, cheese, milk, and dairy. So vegans are low in this particular B vitamin. And studies done recently show that people who are even in a low normal range of B12, still had higher risks of developing dementia than those who had the higher levels of B12. So I recommend people take B12 folic acid supplements. I take one every day. They're just going to be good for you. And another interesting thing that people can do if they want to add this to their diet is eat a spice that comes out of the East called curcumin. It's turmeric curcumin. It's a yellow spice. And this particular spice has molecular ability to bind to these amyloid proteins in the brain and prevent them from building up in the brain and maybe clear it. Very similar maybe to the pomegranate effect. And so if you eat some of those things in your diet, that can be neuroprotective for the brain. I mentioned
before we go. Wait, doctor. Let's spell that. Is that curcumin?
Yes, that's
curcumin.
It.
Curcumin. Mm-hmm. All right. Curcumin spice. Okay.
And you can look up some research on that by putting that in your search engine along with the word Alzheimer's, and you'll find several articles and research that has been done on that particular spice. Mental exercise. This is critical. The brain, the way the brain works, the neural circuits that we use as we maintain activity in the brain, as we are engage cognitively and so forth, the neural circuits stay healthier, and the brain produces proteins that keep the neurons healthy. When we don't fire neural circuits, when we're not mentally active, then the brain doesn't produce these enzymes. And in fact, the brain begins pruning back its neural network. This happens, and this is a good reason for this. So one of the things you can do, and the studies show that people who stay mentally active through life help forestall or the development of dementia. Well, one of the things then that would bring on the development of dementia, and you see this in our society today, and one of the other factors that may be contributing to the increased risk, not only are we living longer, but somewhere we've got the societal belief that when you turn 65, you quit. When you turn 65, you retire, you disengage, yeah. You sit in front of your TV, and you eat your popcorn, and you veg out. And that's the fast track to the grave. I'm going to just tell you straight up, it's the fast track to the grave. If you want to have a healthy, vibrant life, you stay engaged physically and you stay engaged mentally. The old saying, if you don't use it, you lose it, is true, not just of the physical. And we see this, you know, take your right arm and work it out at the gym three times a week, and take your left arm and put it in a sling. Then over 6 months, watch what happens to each arm. One gets stronger, one gets emaciated and weak.
Yes,
well, this
yes.
happens to the brain as well. If we're not using the neural circuits, we just sit and watch TV. Well, what happens is the brain really becomes placid. It flaccid. It doesn't get activated. And so we really become more vulnerable to developing dementia as we don't use these neural circuits. And so staying involved, and one of the healthiest things you can do to stay involved is stay involved with a healthy spirituality, Bible study, a group network system where you're studying and working and pursuing to greater insights. But scientific exploration can be helpful as well.
Let me ask you this, Dr. Jennings. I know that you're not a big fan of television watching, and I don't blame you at all, and I agree with you 100%. If a person is now watching an hour of television a day, and I think the national average is going up because of the economy problem we're having right now. More people are watching more television, and that's awful. But if you spend an hour reading a book as opposed to watching television, are we helping ourselves along by reading that book instead of watching television? Is that a good alternative?
Absolutely. Book reading is absolutely much more healthy. You're activating all types of neural circuits, language centers, processing, reasoning, imagination. All these things have to be activated. When we talk about television, and let's be clear, I'm talking about theatrical entertainment. I'm not talking about watching a preacher on a closed circuit TV. I'm not talking about watching a history channel in which you're just getting a historical review of some events. We're talking theatrical entertainment. So theatrical entertainment has this ability to kind of veg you down. But even the programs where maybe they're more of a history channel, Discovery Channel stuff that are more of an entertainment style that has this sense of disengaging your brain and just spoon feeding you information. Spoon feeding information doesn't activate the brain as much as challenging information that requires you to think. So the most healthy things are going to be things that challenge your constructs, require you to step back, reprocess, reexamine, problem solve. Think about if you're trying to learn math in school, do you learn best if the teacher comes by and writes all the answers down for you, or do you learn best if you have to wrestle with some of those problems yourself?
Gotcha. Okay, very good. In other words, sitting down and watching a program like Frontline or some type of program that really forces you to think and come up with conclusions of yourself are actually helpful to your brain as opposed to damaging to your brain.
Yeah, they're going to be much, much healthier. Exactly right. You don't want to watch that theatrical stuff. Other things that we can do that can be helpful is maintain a good circadian rhythm, sleep-wake cycle. Sleep deprivation increases... interferes with the normal biorhythms, increases the stress hormones to the body, the inflammatory factors, increases the risks of all these different things we've been talking about today. So normal, healthy sleep-wake cycles are very good for you. And I want to mention to the audience that God prescribed way back a long time ago a weekly day of rest, that allowing ourselves to come apart to disengage the brain from the worries of life, to say, I'm not going to deal with my finances today. I'm not going to deal with my work problems today. I'm not going to deal with the cleaning of the house and doing the laundry. And most Christians today, even though they may go to church one day a week, they don't take 24 hours aside and let their brain rest. They may get their sleep every night, but their brain 7 days a week is worrying, stressing, problem solving, working. And to take that one day in seven for 24 hours where you can say, you know what, I'm going to lay all that aside and take this time of rest. Now, most Christians are not able to do this because if they were to actually take 24 hours aside, they feel guilty. They feel guilty. Well, I've got the laundry to do. My house needs clean. I've got all these things going on. And so they feel guilty for taking a whole day off until they remember what God has prescribed for us in the commandments. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And then we can actually say, you know what? I don't need to feel guilty because I'm honoring God when I take this day aside. So I can take one day in seven off without feeling lazy, without feeling guilty, without feeling like I'm neglecting duty. It is my duty to honor God and in this way. And if you do that, you actually get significant benefits physiologically, mentally, and spiritually for doing that.
Boy, just another example of the fact that the Ten Commandments that God put out for us is actually for our benefit. Even the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. It's not God saying, hey, I want to be worshipped and you need to worship me. It's God saying, hey, you need this day of rest. You need it so you can understand and communicate with me more effectively. And if you have Alzheimer's, it's pretty hard to communicate with anything. We're talking with Dr. Timothy Jennings, Christian psychiatrist and author, and we have a web address, email address available for your questions for today's program. Our phone lines are down, but you can certainly email us at simplesolutions@lifetalk.net. We have someone standing by to take your question, and we'll bring it right into the studio, and we'll ask it on the air, and Dr. Jennings will address it for you. That's simplesolutions@lifetalk.net. Well, we're having all kinds of good information coming. I hope, listener, you are writing this down. I want to add one thing to Dr. Jennings' recommendations when he was talking about fruits and vegetables. He says, don't microwave them. My wife has found that steaming vegetables, steaming them in a little bamboo steamer above, keeps the nutrients in and the taste in, and it doesn't nuke them like the we took our microwave out. We listened to this program enough to know that we need to take it out. So we just unplug it, put it in the basement, and she steams the vegetables now, and the nutrients stay inside. Again, if you have questions today, simplesolutions at lifetalk.net, and we'll bring them right in here and put them on the air for you. We'll be right back to talk more about what you can do if you know someone who has Alzheimer's, how you can prepare your life and your house for them. Stay tuned.
Too many Christians don't know the truth about dinosaurs, but Christian scientist Dr. Elaine Graham Kennedy is out to change that. Dr. Kennedy is a research scientist who has done field work at dig sites in remote places like Patagonia. She has spent her life studying dinosaurs, and now she has published a remarkable book called Dinosaurs, published by Pacific Press, that is both scientifically based and biblically sound. It answers the questions many Christians ask. Did dinosaurs really live? Are dinosaur bones fake? Who made the dinosaurs? What happened to them? And were dinosaurs on Noah's Ark? Dr. Kennedy's book, Dinosaurs, is filled with interesting facts, photographs, and colorful charts. It is a must for every Christian home and perfect for reading with your kids. To get a copy, visit www.pacificpress.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
It's time for a health break with Charles Mills, editor of Vibrant Life magazine.
Blood pressure on the rise? Try this alternative to heading for the pharmacy. Begin by making healthy food choices. Include lots of fresh fruits and vegetables. Then get out and walk briskly 30 minutes a day. Not only will your blood pressure fall, so will your weight. One study showed these healthful lifestyle changes provide the same effect as taking a low-dose blood pressure medication, but with none of the dangerous side effects. And you'll enjoy the added benefit of reducing your risk of other life-threatening illnesses like heart disease and cancer. Remember, when it comes to weight and blood pressure, what goes up must come down.
To discover even more ways to enjoy physical health, mental clarity, and spiritual balance, check out VibrantLife.com.
Well, listener, I hope you are keeping track here. I hope you're writing these things down. Dr. Jennings is giving us some wonderful information about how we can lower our risk of Alzheimer's disease. And there's a lot of things we've talked about. By the way, if you are just joining us now, you need to go right away to his website, www.comeandreason.com. And very shortly after the program airs, there'll be a podcast of this available for you. So you can listen to the program again or for the first time. This is very, very valuable stuff. That website again is www.comeandreason.com. There'll be a link there for the radio program, Simple Solutions. Okay, Dr. Jennings, let's move into some more aggressive help in Alzheimer's. Are there medicines that we should be considering?
Yeah, that's a great question. When the brain is failing, our responsibility is to do whatever we can to forestall, halt, or restore a person back to as close to God's design as we can. And science has given us some interventions that can help slow the progression of the mental decline. And there are several types of medicines out there. One is a group of medicines called cholinesterase inhibitors. And these particular medicines actually keep around a neurotransmitter, a brain chemical that's important in learning and memory, keep it around longer in the brain functioning, even though the neurons that make it are dying. So basically what happens is we have less neurons making it, but this enzyme, this particular medicines, prevent the enzyme that breaks down this neurotransmitter from working. So even though we have less neurons making it, it stays around longer. So it reduces the significant impact of the loss of the neurons for a while in the progression of this illness. So the doctor that you go to knows about these. There's three in this class, really, that are commonly used today. And then there's another medicine that works differently. The way the brain signals each other is through ion channels and depolarization of neurons. And as the neurons influx, one of the neural systems, one of the receptors that is involved in this gets dysregulated and doesn't work right. And another medicine out there on the market helps regulate that particular pathway or that receptor and puts it more back in balance. So it helps with thinking and learning in this particular setting. There was an interesting study done, though, for people who like a little bit more of a natural remedy. There was an interesting study done with lemon balm, and lemon balm seemed to work similar to one of those medicines, the cholinesterase inhibitors, increasing the acetylcholine-like signaling, and seems to have some cognitive memory enhancement. If people want to try the lemon balm, I can't give specifics on dosing or how to try it. They'll have to research that on their own, but one study does suggest that. And then if your audience has read studies about the lipid-lowering agents, things that are out there for cardiac disease and lowering cholesterol medicines having some benefit in Alzheimer's dementia, the reason that probably is the case is because, not because they're lowering lipids, but what we're finding is these lipid-lowering agents are very, very powerful anti-inflammatory drugs. They're reducing these inflammatory factors that we were talking about, and that is probably the mechanism that they are beneficial in Alzheimer's dementia. So again, if we can do these natural things that we talked about, these very powerful anti-inflammatories, the omega-3s, the vitamin E, and I didn't mention the vitamin C also. Vitamin E concentrates in the neural membrane, and the vitamin C concentrates in the cytoplasm of the neuron, and both of them together scavenge up free radicals and help protect the neuron. So vitamin E, vitamin C, the B vitamins, the folic acid, pomegranate juice, the curcumin, all these things that are very anti-inflammatory, free radical scavenging, and the omega-3s are going to have neural protective and beneficial effects. Physical exercise, good sleep hygiene, a good spirituality, all these things reducing these factors are going to result in a better and healthier brain as we age through life.
And by the way, if you are a fan listener of Indian food, curcumin is the yellow in curry. So you can rejoice that when you eat your Indian food and you slop on the curry, you are getting curcumin in that. I have to ask this, Dr. Jennings, before we leave this particular topic. On these medicines, are there some side effects we should hear about?
Oh, yeah. The medicines actually do have significant side effects. They can cause dream problems. They can cause for some patients, then instead of getting better, they get worse. They get more confused. They can cause sleep problems, appetite loss, and that can be a significant thing in patients who are dementing because may already be not eating well, and so sometimes they can get nausea and not eat well. So those are generally the most common side effects, headaches, most common side effects associated with the medicines.
Okay. Well, now let's talk about the environment of someone with Alzheimer's. What can we do if someone in our family has Alzheimer's? What can we physically do and practically do for that person?
Well, first thing I would do is be sure they get into a good practitioner who has experience assessing, diagnosing, and treating Alzheimer's dementia. Because just because somebody has dementia doesn't mean it's Alzheimer's. For instance, if somebody has the vascular dementia we talked about with little tiny microscopic strokes going through their brain, things can be done to prevent further strokes, which would then cause them not to decline. If they don't have any more further strokes, they just kind of stay where they are. They don't continue to go down a hill. So you'd want to be sure that this is, in fact, Alzheimer's and not a vascular type dementia. So you want to get into a good practitioner. Secondly, every one of the things that I've suggested needs to be done in conjunction with working with your doctor. But all these sleep hygiene is very important. As people dement, they often lose the ability to maintain sleep. And if they're not sleeping well at night, they actually get worsening confusion than if they are sleeping. Comorbidly, which means happening at the same time, people with dementia often become depressed. And when people have depression, depression will magnify or make the dementia much, much more severe. So a person who may only have a mild disturbance that you may not notice, if they're depressed, may look severely impaired and almost to the point of needing to be institutionalized. But if you treat the depression, then they go back to this point where they're just mildly impaired. So you'd want to have a practitioner who knows what they're doing evaluate the person. But putting in all those nutritional factors are going to just, even at that late stage, are going to be beneficial. Getting them in an exercise program, getting them in some type of mental exercise program that can keep them mentally engaged to the best of their ability is going to be helpful. But other things that you can do around the home, depending on which stage, are we early, are we mild, are we moderate dementia, are we severe late stage dementia, we have to be continually assessing the person's functioning level and making the home safe. We would want a person who's got significant dementia, we would want to turn the stoves off where stoves can no longer be used. In other words, turn the breakers off so that the person can't take the irons out of the home. Because what happens is the person starts to cook something, and the phone rings. They go in the other room. They've completely forgotten. They don't have the ability to remember they've got the iron on or the stove on in the other room. So we have to take precautions to protect the person if they're staying in the home. Even if they're living with us, you can't be watching 24/7. So you want to make precautions to protect the person from these types of things. You know, obviously,
you're saying going down there and just take the breakers off. I mean, just really, so it cannot be done.
Exactly. Those types of things are very helpful. You'd want to take the car keys away. Most of the people who have difficulty driving late in life and get in automobile accidents, it's not from vision problems. It's from cognitive impairments. They cannot process the stimuli in traffic, all the traffic signals, lights, people moving, cars moving. It's too much to process at one time. Like your mom walked into the grocery store and didn't know what direction to do. Right. What would have happened in traffic, you see? Okay, so as people get cognitively impaired, they need to have their automobiles taken from them. And this is a huge thing because it can significantly worsen their decline as they have awareness, I can't drive. They feel a loss of autonomy. They get discouraged. They can slump into a depression. They can disengage. They can become apathetic. They can not want to continue on. And so that loss of drive, that loss of initiative, that loss of want to stay involved, if you lose all that, it can actually precipitate a worsening decline. So when you take the car keys away, it needs to be done in a way that is most likely to keep the patient engaged in life. And so there's some interventions you can make with social interventions, family interventions, community interest groups, church groups, things that will keep them involved and keep some sense of autonomy and independence about them. As far as possible, let the person continue to have some input in their day-to-day activities, choosing their menu, choosing their weekly schedule, those types of things, so they have a sense of autonomy and individuality and self-direction still with their life. Rather than taking over and doing everything for them. So you take over only the things that have to be. Finances need to be taken over fairly early so that these people are not exploited. There are predators out there in our society that prey on these precious loved ones of ours who are losing a little bit of their discerning abilities and cognitive abilities, and they'll exploit and steal their life savings from them. And so we need to take some measures to protect our elderly loved ones from that. As people dement, they lose three-dimensional perception oftentimes, and they don't see space and three-dimensional objects in the exact same way. So if you have a wandering person who's in late dementia, severe dementia, and you're keeping them at home, and they tend to wander and you're having a difficult time keeping up with them, getting a flat black mat that's in the shape of a circle that's maybe rubber, and you put it right in front of the door. Maybe it's the size of a manhole or something. They may misperceive that as a hole, and so they won't go to the door because they don't want to step in the hole. And it's just a simple little intervention that can keep them from wandering outside the house. There are things done like that. So talking with a professional that can work with you, an Alzheimer's Society, I would recommend. Get involved with the Alzheimer's Association Society in your community. They're everywhere. They have lots of great resources that can help the family caregiver provide. And oftentimes they have a daycare center where you can drop a family member for a few hours a couple times a week, and they will be in a safe place and be watched to give the caregiver a rest and a break. All these things are great things to do.
Boy, and there's one thing we can do right now, Dr. Jennings, and I hope you would do that for us. Would you pray for the families who are right now experiencing Alzheimer's in one way or another? Would you do that for us?
Yeah, I sure will. Our gracious Father, we ask that you would send your Spirit to all these families out there who are struggling with this illness. Bring them comfort, bring them wisdom. Help them to be able to bring to bear the principles that you would have us apply to our lives that would keep us healthy through life. For those who are already suffering, that can provide the care that will maximize their level of functioning and give those families strength and courage to continue on in your love and grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Dr. Jennings, you have given us such wonderful, wonderful information today to help us get through this and to keep ourselves healthy for the years to come. Thank you so much for that. Again, listener, you can go to www.comeandreason.com, www.comeandreason.com, and listen to a podcast of this program. Share it with someone who may be suffering from this disease. Until next week, this is Charles Mills, Dr. Jennings. Goodbye, everyone.
Simple Solutions is a production of Life Talk Radio and Dr. Timothy Jennings and is made possible by your generous support. For more information, visit www.comeandreason.com.